Welcome to Walking in the Word, the weekly teaching series by pastor, teacher, evangelist Eric W. Stansberry, located in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast is brought to you every week with the hope of blessing you to find to strengthen your walk with Christ. And now, your teacher, Pastor Stansberry.
Hello, everyone. I am so excited and blessed that you're with us here today in Restoration Bible Fellowship. I am Dr. Eric Stansberry, the senior pastor of this little online gathering, and I am absolutely excited that you're with us today. We are going to start a brand new series in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be going to do a very deep dive into this particular book, and if you have, I want you to share this with somebody, either with a live, let them know that, hey, Dr. Stansberry's online if we want to go to Ephesians together. Or you can watch it later on my YouTube channel, which I need you to like and subscribe to if you would, please, and my podcast. I also want to thank those of you who have been in prayer for my wife. She's getting much, much better. Tomorrow we go to get the stitches out, so we're excited. But continue to pray for all those pastors who are preaching God's word, who are trying to get the word out about revival that needs to come to our country. Remember our leadership. Remember those who are in authority, that they need the grace of God to touch them in such a way that they know the path to take. But again, I'm excited that you're with us today. I hope today will be a blessing to you and to your family. So let's get started by going to the Lord in prayer. If you have a prayer request, feel free to always email that to me at pastorstansberry@gmail.com or right here on Facebook. Just let me know and I'll hold you up in prayer every morning because I believe that prayer still works. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy, your grace, your glory, your power. We thank you, God, that you are moving on the behalf of your people, that you're doing exceedingly and abundantly more than we can think or we can ask or we can even imagine, because it's a power that you have at work in our lives. And Father, I pray this morning, I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that everyone, if they have a physical need, if they have a financial need, a spiritual need, that right now, that their faith will rise up and that you and our faith will join with theirs. And that they will find the answer in you, that they'll find their healing, they'll find their miracle today in you, that they'll know that you are the on-time God as always. And Father, for what we know you're doing in and through the lives of the people that are being touched by your word today, we give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'm going to do a song that I usually do with soundtrack, but obviously I don't have a soundtrack here, but yet we are upgrading our materials. We got a gift given to our ministry that's going to help us do that. Well, listen to this, the words of the song. It says, I'll worship only at the feet of Jesus.
I went to visit the shrine of plenty, found his storeroom all filled up. I bowed an altar, gold and silver, but as I knelt there, they turned back. So I worship Jesus is not the Jesus only. flames from high. But as I climb, the promise faded, and the winds blew on me. All through the night, so I worship only at the feet of my Jesus. He is come among my hopes. God's before Him, oh Jesus only, will never fail. The call of the cruise desert dust.
Say amen to that. That the only place you're going to give your worship will be at the throne room at the feet of Jesus Christ. Again, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the church at Ephesus. And the church of Ephesus is unusual because it exists in three places at the same time. It's in Acts chapter 18 where Paul founded the church in the midst of a city that whose entire life was out of worship and sex. It was very immoral, very just all about the flesh. Then we see this same church when he writes the letter to them on how to live in that world that they find themselves in. And then we'll see them again in Revelation chapter number 2 as the first of the seven letters. Now this church had as its pastors at one time the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Timothy, and John. So they had the great leadership. They had the great teaching. So when Paul is now writing to them from prison to try to encourage them on how to live in the world that they find themselves in today. And if you look at the world that we are in today, you'll find out very quickly that our world is basically entrenched in sex and idol worship. You say, well, we don't have idols. Well, we do. We people that worship sports or sports figures or entertainment, they focus on everything else but Christ. So let's start with verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints, being in Ephesus, and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as he opens the letter, he says, Paul, an apostle. There are a lot of people that run around with self-given titles or because of the office that they hold in their denomination. But can I just tell all of you today that who you are is not determined by a man. Your office in the church is not determined by man or by a test or whatever. It is determined solely by God. God alone determines who you are by his will. You say, well, brother, if we don't have apostles, I would submit to you we do have apostles. We have prophets, we have teachers, we have evangelists. The problem is people want to assign themselves a title rather than let God give them the title. Let me give you an example. If you call yourself a prophet and yet you make a prophecy that does not come to pass, you're not a prophet. And most prophets in the Old Testament were not popular to people. They showed up at your house, or they showed up even at the city. When Samuel came to the city to anoint David, when he got there, everybody showed up going, oh, you here? Curse or bless us? We didn't know what to do. You need to understand that who you are is not determined. And you take away from offices. God has a will for you, and God determines who you are. Don't let the opinions of the turkeys impact the opinion of the master. Second thing, Paul says, we must be faithful where we're planted. Sometimes we think we should be here, we should be there, we should be here, when all he wants us to do is to be faithful where we're planted. James chapter 1 and verse 12 says, blessed is the man, fortunate. Now, I'm using the Disciples New Living, a literal translation, and their study notes. Blessed is the man, fortunate from God's point of view, who endures the trial, because having become or been approved, he'll receive the crown of consisting of belonging to the life which he promises to the ones loving him. Understand, there's an endurance factor. Look at the life of Joseph. Had all the promises made of God, saw it in dreams, but he ends up in the pit, he ends up in the prison before he ever makes it to the palace. A long time. So many of us, we get to the point where, like Charlie Brown, when he went to Lucy and said, where do I go to give up? Quit begins to look good. Quit begins to look like what we want to do. When instead we should endure, because we're not running the race down here. The prophet would be asked, if you run with the footmen and they've worn you out, what will you do against the horses? We must be faithful to the place that we're called and be faithful to the call that we have. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21 says, may he prepare, equip, complete, furnish you in every good thing so that you may do his will while doing pleasing thing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. He's going to equip you. He's going to furnish you. But it comes back to you've got to be faithful to where you are. Colossians chapter 3 and 17 tells us that in everything, whatever thing you may do in word or deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything, whether you are the bathroom cleaner at church or you're the senior pastor at church, whether in your job you're the CEO or you're just one of the minions, everything that you do, be faithful. Because you're not doing it for men, you're doing it for Christ. You're not doing it for your boss, you're not doing it for your family, you're not doing it for whoever. Everything that you do, from working paying bills, whatever, you do it so that you can glorify Christ, who is your source. The third thing that Paul says here in this text is we must learn to accept His grace and His peace in our hearts. If you watch the news at all today, you find that the world is in turmoil. You've got saber rattling between Russia and the United States over Ukraine. You've got the Chinese saying, we're going to take Taiwan and there's nothing you can do about it. There are wars and rumors of wars right here in this country. We have one group against another group, against another group, against another group. And so how would Jesus respond to this? But what he said in John chapter 14. I leave you peace. I give you my peace. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. Not let it be afraid. Now what's he saying? My peace. How is this peace different than what the world gives? Because the world's peace is temporary. It's just simply the absence of conflict. His peace says that no matter what happens, he's in control. Gold City recorded a song a long time ago, goes, under control. The winds obey his will. It's under control. When he speaks, the storm is still. So don't be afraid. Rejoice in your soul because it's under control. The problem that many of us face is that we lack the world's peace. We seek for it. We seek for it, and you know, we don't want any conflict. Let's all learn how to get along. Why can't we all just get along? And the problem is, as long as we're on this side of eternity, you've got two kingdoms in conflict, the kingdom of the fallen realm and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is going to be victorious in all things. It will overcome it all. So the peace is, even though on the front end it may look like things are honky-winky, friends and neighbors, just like the mob would do, it's a fixed fight. You will be more than a conqueror. John 16 and 33, Jesus says, I have spoken these things to you in order that you may have peace in me. Now, these are his last words. And he's telling them, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. I'm going to raise from the dead. And I'm telling you this now so you don't panic. So can I fast forward? He's telling us that in the church, I'm coming back after my bride. If I go away, I'm coming again. He said, well, what if I die first? Hey, don't worry. Those who die in Christ are absent from the body, present with the Lord. So the idea is his peace. He's telling us there's going to be trouble in this world. Don't you let it rob you of your peace. I'm giving you my peace. I'm telling you all of this in the beginning. You have affliction in the world, but take courage. I have overcome the world. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He conquered the fallen realm. He stripped Satan, and we'll get to this later on. He stripped the enemy of his power over you, but the enemy doesn't want you to know that he stripped the power from you. He's been stripped. The problem with many of us in the church today, we act like that Satan is co-equal to Christ. And can I just tell you, he's not. And he knows it. Let's go to verses 3 through 6. You know, Psalm 4 and 8 tells us that in peace I will lie down and I will get in sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. All right, sorry, I digress. 3 through 6. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we might be holy and without blemish in his presence. In love, having predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ to himself, in harmony with the good pleasure of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace, which he graciously bestowed on us in the beloved, the one having been loved, one. So we see that God is working in our lives, that God is trying to do something in us. First of all, Paul says, we worship because of what God's already done. 1 John 3 and 1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. And we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. When Jesus was teaching the disciples to pray, did he not say, we go before the throne and say, our Father who is in heaven, holy, set apart, is your name. You see, we worship God not because of, you know, what he does in our lives. We worship him because what he's given us in Christ. He's given us everything we need. He says the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus to make it. Watchman Nee wrote a book called We Learn to First Sit at His Feet, Walk in His Presence, and Stand. We have to learn to sit, walk, and stand in His presence. He says, first of all, I've given you, you've been justified through Christ. The King's Man song, justified, had never sinned. We've been justified. He wiped the slate clean. As the old hymn goes, the old account was settled long ago. We've been justified. You have a new life. You say, wait a minute, Brother Eric, my life hasn't changed. It's very much what it's always been. It hasn't changed at all. But I would submit to you, if you have been bought by the blood of Jesus, and you've walked and you're walking in obedience with him, that you will find out very quickly your life is new. Because we're no longer slaves to sin. We've been bought by the blood. And we'll come up being adopted in just a second. But we've left that kingdom for his kingdom. We're justified. We have a new life. And we're sanctified. Now, I grew up in Pentecost. And the way we were taught sanctification was the stuff you put down. I don't drink, smoke, cuss, chew, rum, those do. Woo! When sanctification truly means you are now set apart to do something. In a lot of houses, you have two sets of dishes. One set of dishes is the everyday dishes. The other set has their own cabinet. They only get to come out when somebody fancies coming. Actually, I've been in some houses, I've never seen those dishes leave the cupboard, leave the china cabinet. Why? They've been set apart for a purpose. When Jesus enters your life, he sets you apart for a purpose. And he will put you through a wilderness time to prepare you for that purpose. That's the dirty secret we don't want to talk about. And then he says that he predestined to adopt. Now, let me explain before anybody goes, wait a minute, wait, I am not preaching predestination. God put the adoption process in place way before anything happened because he knew men. But he also, it's a choice. I can choose to accept the gift of adoption, or I can choose to reject the gift of adoption. Now, I am an adopted child, and I understand the process. When you become adopted, whatever name you had in the past, whatever family affiliations you had in the past is erased, and you're now given a new family. When I was born, my birth mother, she named me. She gave me a name. When my parents adopted me, my dad went before a court, and I was given a new name with a new birth certificate. I was adopted. So why does God adopt us? Why does he? First of all, he does it because it's the pleasure of his will. He is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The problem is so many just reject the gift. Let me tell you, friend, God doesn't send people to hell. People choose to go to hell. And God has put every kind of stumbling block in their way to keep them from doing it. But yet, they'll choose it every time. The second reason that he adopted us is because it's to give the praise of the glory to his grace. His grace that we didn't even deserve to be saved. We deserved death. Yet he chose to adopt us. Time is getting away from us. Let's go to verses 7 through 8. In whom, talking about Christ, we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he caused to abound to us. In, caused to abound to us in all wisdom and understanding, having made known, comma, all wisdom and understanding. He came, he wants you to understand and get it all, to understand it. He's done all the work that needs to be done. He's paid the price. John 17:4, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me that I should do. When Jesus, his last words on the cross, it is finished. He paid it. The penalty for your sin, my sin, was paid. John 4 and 34, when Jesus' family want to see him, Jesus said this, "My food is that I may do the will of the one having sent me and accomplish his work." That I can do what he sent me to do. It's all been done. In Colossians 2 and 10, this is what Paul writes. In him, in Christ, you are complete, or in a state of completeness. So once you're in Christ, you're growing. A baby is born. You and I are born with everything we need to live in the physical realm. When we become believers, we are given at that moment everything we need to survive in the spiritual realm. We don't always access it. We don't work at it. We don't eat. We don't have a proper diet. It's like if you're going to run a marathon, and we're going to get into this later, all of us are born with two legs for the most part, and we all start off with the same ability as far as physical goes. Some people are naturally gifted at athletics. Some folks run and jog all the time. I can tell you can look at this physique. I'm not running a marathon anytime soon. But I got all the tools. Just haven't trained myself to do that. Babies don't come out of the womb walking. We teach them to walk. They don't come out of the womb talking. We teach them to talk. When you're born in Christ, we have to teach you. You have to find a good Bible-believing teaching church to teach you how to walk, to teach you how to talk, to teach you how to fight. We send soldiers to basic training, but they all come in with the same skill set until they're taught how to fight. He did all of this according to the riches of his grace that he offered to all mankind. Now, the problem is when we look at the word grace, we're really quick to say unmerited favor, but if you really dig into the word, what we find the grace in Christ is a place of beauty and protection. So that when the enemy comes, I'm in a pleasant place of protection. It's like a walled fortress. It's not some crazy place. It is a place where I am protected by Christ himself. So in just these first 8 verses, you've been told that you're chosen, you're adopted, you're favored, you're redeemed, you're forgiven, and you're blessed. That should be cause for you to shout right there. Many of all of us, struggle with our own, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, my past disqualifies me, I came from the wrong family, I got the wrong pedigree. Can I just tell you today, on the authority of God's word, that he has chosen you, he's adopted you, he's favored you with his son, he's redeemed you, bought you back to him, he's forgiven your sins, and he's blessed you in Christ Jesus. What he's waiting on you and me to do is to quit trying to overthink it and accept his word as it is, not what somebody tells us it is. It is time the church stop worrying about the opinions of the world and start saying, I have been chosen by the Creator God. I've been favored by him and adopted through Jesus, through the blood of Jesus Christ, who's now my elder brother. I've been adopted, I've been chosen, and I've been redeemed. And start living the life that we are supposed to live in Christ as his redeemed bride awaiting his return. So let me ask you this morning. If for whatever reason you found yourself saying, I want to know this Jesus that you just talked about, Doctor. It's easy. The Bible says if you'll believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that God raised him from the dead, and confess with your mouth. Now, confession is, you know, just say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus Christ, the everlasting Son of God, who has saved me from my sins. Even when I sin, if I repent, He is able and just to forgive my sins because I'm His child. And this world is not my home. His home is my home. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for Your love, Your mercy, Your grace, and Your glory. I pray, God, that today this word will go out and touch somebody's life and give them the grace and the peace that they need to walk in this present darkness. And Father God, for what we know that You're going to do in and through Your word, because You said Your word never returns to You void. We give You praise, we give You glory, we give You honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I am absolutely so excited about this series. If you want my study notes, if you'll just simply email me at pastorsansbury@gmail.com, I will happily send you a copy, and it will be one that will grow as the particular series begins to grow. Use it as a Bible study or however you prefer. So until next week, this is Dr. Eric Sansbury, Senior Pastor of Restoration Bible Fellowship, wishing you grace and peace be multiplied into your life as you walk daily with Jesus Christ. Hope that you have a great week. Welcome to the new year. We'll see you next week. Have a great one.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Walking in the Word with Pastor, Teacher, Evangelist Eric W. Stansbury. Feel free to email Pastor Stansbury at pastorstansbury@gmail.com. We thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Walking in the Word.